FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 11/19/18. If we had spoken yesterday, it would have been 11/18/18, and you know my preoccupation with numerology, whatever it might mean. Numbers do mean something for sure, especially when you're dealing with the economy and your own personal finances. And we're really happy to have with us a new guest, Patrick Donahoe. Patrick, you're president and CEO of Paradigm Life and have recently published a best-selling book on financial freedom called Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, A Financial Strategy to Reignite the American Dream. Sounds like you're taking a lot on your shoulders. Well, welcome to the show. But first, as always, if you want to participate, the email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Patrick, so welcome. It's great to have you on.
It's great to be on, Kerry. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, so reigniting the American dream. I guess before we talk about how you reignite something, we kind of need to know how you define it. So how do you define the American dream?
That's an awesome question. You know, I think, you know, the American dream probably has different, different definitions. I go back to what I consider it to be originally before, you know, United States was even founded. I talk a lot about John Locke in the book and talk about, you know, the Scottish Enlightenment and a lot of the events that took place there that were highly influential to the founding fathers and their formation. The Constitution, obviously the Declaration of Independence, you know, but John Locke was, you know, he coined that kind of phrase and talked extensively about it, the pursuit of life, liberty, and property. So I look at, you know, the American dream and it was the pursuit of freedom, right? And I look at, you know, what it is today, home ownership or, you know, having a 401k or, you know, having a job with healthcare benefits. You know, I don't think that's the American dream. I think the pursuit initially was, you know, essentially to escape the web that existed, you know, in Europe at the time, and come to a place where a person did have the freedom to pursue what their life's ambitions were, to pursue, whoever aligned with their talents and their abilities and that entrepreneurial spirit that most people have. So anyway, I mean, that's how I kind of define the American dream. I think it's totally been lost. We've delegated all of our, you know, responsibilities to, you know, to Wall Street for our financial well-being, to the government for, you know, our safety and our healthcare and our future security with Social Security. I mean, we've delegated the responsibilities that, you know, I would say make us who we are to those, you know, who I don't think have a right to bear that responsibility. And, you know, right now we are bearing the fruits of that idea with just the current state of affairs with, you know, the banking system, Wall Street, and also government.
Yeah. So the American dream has, I don't want to say it's evolved, but perhaps it's become distorted over time. And basically you're wanting to bring it back. So American, what made the country great, et cetera, was people taking risks, entrepreneurs, right? It wasn't people looking for healthcare benefits, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, you know, taking risks is interesting. You know, you and I were at the, you know, Jason Hartman's event a couple weeks ago, and, you know, there's a guy there that I love talking to, and he's a professional poker player, and fascinating to talk to him about game theory. But I think risk is even, you know, risk is even one of those things that people don't understand. And I think now the idea of taking risk is also because of, you know, the stimulus that occurred after the 2008-2009 financial crisis, that has really created a ton of liquidity. And right now, you know, you're having, you know, people make certain bets, take certain risks that are completely outside of their control. And so I look at, you know, the entrepreneur, you know, the entrepreneur spirit, and it's taking risks, calculated risks, but also risks that you have influence and control over. And I think it's much different. I think rolling the dice and gambling is much different than, you know, than taking entrepreneurial risks, whether it's developing a, you know, a business or developing a technology or developing something that could ultimately help someone else. And I also think risk, you know, it's interesting, risk is, you know, delegating the responsibility for your well-being to somebody else. I think that also is, you know, has some inherent risk in it as well. And so the whole idea of, you know, heads I win, tails you lose, right, is to set yourself up so that you are taking risks. I mean, heads I win, tails you lose, like you're rolling the dice, you're flipping the coin. Okay. However, you have control and influence over how it winds up. And that's, again, kind of the nature of the book is, you know, to really establish a good financial foundation, which consists of education, which consists of understanding what you're doing, but also consists of, you know, not being dependent on an employer necessarily, or just being dependent in general. It's figuring out ways in which you can be the most independent possible, which is where you're going to have the most control and influence.
I see. Interesting. So, some things that appear to not be risky could be the most risky of investments, like treasury debt, like sovereign debt, as we've all found out. And that other things that appear to be extremely risky can turn out to be a very low risk and high return.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think today, too, you look at how much liquidity is in, you know, is in the market, is in people's hands, may not be in, you know, the lower percentile of people, but in the higher percentile. And you just see tons of a lot of fraud, you know, happening. I think when, you know, you make a bet and you win, then you tend to increase your optimism increases, that optimism bias takes hold, and you make bigger bets and then bigger ones and then bigger ones. And sooner or later you're cutting corners. And then finally, you know, the house of cards comes down. But I was looking at a website this morning, and it was a website that went down. It was an investment for accredited investors called optionsellers.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the tagline was, you know, our goal is to take an aggressive vehicle and manage it conservatively. And they completely folded, went bankrupt and lost, you know, millions and millions of people's money. But it's one of those things where you're starting to see, you know, to see the idea of liquidity and the stimulus rear its ugly head. And people are just taking more bets and making more bets, and they've won, you know, but they're starting to lose. And obviously, you know, if you win a bunch of times, but you make your biggest bet at the end and lose all, you know, none of the winnings make a difference.
Interesting. So risk management is really essential to rebuilding the American dream, isn't it?
I totally agree. Yeah, I categorize, you know, in the book, I categorize wealth in kind of a hierarchy. And so I use, you know, just the most famous you know, hierarchy when it comes to human beings, which is Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
right.
You know, but you start off with foundational, you know, your foundational needs, your physiological needs, and you have your safety needs. Then you have relationships, and then, you know, self-esteem and self-actualization. But what I did is I essentially took that and categorized it into four tiers, right? So you have a foundational tier, tier one, and that is essentially your safe capital. It's your systems, it's your behavior. And also I look at, you know, one of the best investments is in yourself to figure out ways to make more money. That's when you're gonna have the most control and the most influence. So figuring out ways in which you can do that. Then getting into tier two capital that, you know, you have influence, control over, have financial education around. You know, I highlight, you know, Jason's company, because Jason does a phenomenal job at educating his investors and making sure that they understand those fundamental principles before they invest. But then you get into like tier three and tier four, where, you know, most people start investing there. I consider that the last place where you're investing. Most people are investing there first before they get to their safe and conservative type of investments or investment in themselves. And so that's kind of how, you know, there's a method to be able to structure your finances in a way that's simple, but also gives you some direction as to how to, you know, how to invest, how to save, and where you should start.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. So where are we today? Where is the economy at? What's going on as far as the political scene? And what can we do about it?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I think right now it's a really exciting time. Maybe not for everybody. Most people are, you know, experiencing some heartache. But I look at what's going on right now, and it's inevitable that a correction is needed. Whenever you have artificial manipulation or artificial influence, and I'm more government, whether it's laws or whether it's financial stimulus, like the quantitative easing and, you know, Fed injecting capital into the markets to reduce interest rates. You know, I look at that artificiality essentially creating some unintended consequences in business and markets. And, you know, we're at the point where we're starting to see those signs. You know, it's, mm-hmm. you know, there's headlines every day that point to mismanagement of money. You know, Goldman Sachs was nailed for, you know, that one trader that went rogue and, right. you know, lost billions in the mm-hmm. Malaysian sovereign wealth fund. You also have, you know, just, you know, the typical ones that people talk about, whether it's the underfunded pensions that are out there, Social Security is a mess, but also interest rates are going up, and, you know, we have a $21 trillion budget deficit, right? So, it's one of those things where, You have all these different signs, and it's really exciting because, you know, the correction is inevitable and the correction is, you know, kind of ensuing in a sense. But I look at, you know, these are times correction is just part of the system. I think there's natural principles out there, even in finance and money. And if you don't, you know, if you don't align with those principles, eventually, you know, the consequence will manifest. And right now we're seeing that, and I think we're going to continue to see it because there's major issues, but also there's a lot of things to be exciting about. And that's the thing, is a lot of the, you know, a lot of the cool things in life, whether it's innovation or business or ideas, all occurs when, like, you know, the crap is hitting the fan, and that's going to be going on for a little bit. So I think, you know, state of the economy in my opinion, you know, is pretty good. For most people, it's probably not.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on where you're standing, what you see.
Absolutely.
Right. So what is the what's the roadmap for the future then?
Well, I look at it's different for everyone, but universally speaking, you know, I consider just, you know, an awareness of what's going on as the first, you know, as the first step, and that requires education. Then it's the awareness of, you know, how you're managing your money, how you're managing your career. And it's to step back and to start to assess, you know, the reasons behind why you believe the way you do about your money and about your future. And then it's to start asking questions about, okay, if it doesn't wind up to be true or accurate, you know, what can I do about it? And so one of the things that I highlight in the book is, you know, I don't believe in the idea of retirement. I think it's an anti-life principle. And if you go back, you know, really to Prussian times, right? It was a concoction, you know, of von Bismarck and his, you know, wanting to get older people, you know, out of the workplace, right? Yeah. So they can make room for younger people. And I sure. think that we've adopted that system. And I don't think it's natural, number one, but also people are living longer, and the nature of retirement, you know, building, you know, saving money, saving 10, 20% of your money for 30 years and then living off of it for another 30 years is just not reasonable. And mathematically it's not really possible.
Right.
So I, you know, take a first step as, you know, accepting the fact that, you know, you're probably not going to be able to ever retire. And that's a good thing, because now you can, you know, start to look for, you know, meaningful work, meaningful contribution, where you can, you know, essentially right. find a job or a career that aligns with who you are and what your talents are and something you can do for the rest of your life. But yeah. then it's not necessarily, you know, just having to work 40, 50 hours a week, right? I think people are in the position right now where they can work 20, 30 hours a week based on the experience that they've gained in contract work, freelance work. It's everywhere. And if you know where to look for it. And that's where I think people can just start to discover how to maximize their best asset, which is them, and start to make more money, but also make more money on their terms, as opposed to a boss, you know, or a business telling them what to do. So I think that's a good first step. And maybe people can't just transition there in a month or a week or a short period of time, but at least it's an awareness of that idea and starting to work toward it, so that you can develop something that, you know, you can contribute and be valuable for the rest of your life. And that takes, you know, a huge burden off of having to retire and having to get a certain rate of return and having to, you know, to save this amount of money and forego, you know, experiences and things you can do right now. It takes a ton of that pressure off. But then, you know, I think the next step is to make investment, grow wealth, which I think starts with you, you know, educating yourself about what you're doing, so that you're not trusting in another person to take your money and to do the, you know, do what's in your best interest with it. You know, there's lots of examples of how that's not always turned out the best. So those are some of the steps that you can take really to adapt or to, you know, acclimate to our current environment.
Yeah, and interesting things. Interesting things ahead of us here. Interesting things have already happened. You got to be prepared, and you got to change your way of thinking. And I think that's what you're trying to tell us, Patrick. So we want to get the book. We want to connect with you on the web. Where do we go?
Yeah. So the books, we have audiobook, you know, you can, it's on Kindle and paperback too. It's heads or tails. iwin.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there, yeah, it kind of is the portal to all the other stuff that I'm, you know, involved in, the companies that I'm involved in, and social media and so forth. But yeah, heads or tails, iwin.com is the best place to start.
All right. Excellent. And we will have a link to that, as always, in the show notes to this interview. Hey, be a part of the show and email us at kl@carrielutz.com with anything you want to discuss. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Patrick, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.